I'm sorry, I'll read that again. Pays tribute to the greatest entertainment medium in the world today.
Mouse pickling!
Cinema. Today, our program is devoted to this art.
Oh, what? I am devoted to you.
And we will cover 80 years of cinema history in 30 minutes. That's 2¾ years per minute. The BBC don't call us the fastest show on radio for nothing. No, we have to bribe them. I spoke to J. Arthur File, president of the British Turkey Film Corporation.
I remember the good old days, you know, when you could go to your local Biograph and sit in the best seats in the house for a penny. And there was an organ... There was an organist, and the usherette would sell you an ice cream or sweets or a picnic lunch if you wanted one. You could have a real evening out for the price of a box of matches. Only trouble was, there weren't any films.
Yet today, the fact is that every evening, 52% of the population watch television, 10% go to the theatre, and 37% go to the pictures. Which leaves us with this question. Why do we bother? I'm sorry, I'll read that again, is with you once more, as are Tim Brooke Taylor, John Cleese, Graham Garden, David Hatch, Joe Candler, Bilotti. This week, it's a special widescreen spectacular in super radio scope. So if you're listening on an old square radio, you may miss some of the jokes around the edges. And speaking of old squares, here's John Otto Cleese.
Oh, no! It's I'm sorry, I'll read that again, mother! Again!
Today, we are going to look at films.
Oh, that'd make a nice change, wouldn't it?
Some old, some new, some gay, some blue.
Oh, now you're talking.
The story of the motion picture begins in the late 19th century. Aloysius Film was a former dentist of French extraction, but he retired and became a home inventor. He invented several homes and then became obsessed with visual entertainment. And in 1890, produced his first contraption for moving pictures, the furniture van. In May 1895, we find him hard at work in a dark room in Surrey. Later, he invited friends to share his discoveries.
I think you'll be delighted by what you're going to see. Look through this.
Oh, terrific. What is it?
A keyhole.
Ah, if only we could capture such moments with moving photographs.
Well, at least I can try.
People said he was mad, but Aloysius Film retired to his study with cameras, light reflectors, lenses, and all manner of optical equipment, and after 6 years, everyone was amazed when they saw what he'd invented.
Look, a steam engine.
He was mad. But nevertheless, the dreams of Aloysius Film were not forgotten. And his name was given to motion pictures when they were invented in 1898 by the now forgotten Gustav Cinema. When the new invention was first shown to the public, they didn't believe their eyes.
Eyes? You're lying.
Early audiences had some difficulty getting used to the realism. And in a picture house in Connecticut, a whole audience screamed when they saw a steam locomotive thundering towards them. 15 people died and the film company was sued for building a cinema on the railway line. But more and more people made more and more films, and soon going to the pictures became a rage.
So bad!
These were, of course, the zany, wacky days of silent comedy. The storm clouds of war were breaking over Europe, but all America was laughing.
We're safe.
A whole generation of comedy kings were slaying audiences with their side-splitting routines of custard pies, papering the parlor, custard pies, papering the parlor, papering the parlor, and custard pies, and one or two other variations of the same old acts. But of course, among them all, one lovable little clown stood by himself alone.
B.O.
Yes, Bill Oddie. Then... then known by his stage name, Fred Stage. He started his career as a stuntman.
And they didn't come much more stunted.
But he was to become a mime artist in the classic mold.
And they didn't come much moldier.
In 1922, he made his screen debut. He could never have foretold it then, but shortly after that film, sadly for us all, he made another one. And after not many more years, crowds were rising and saluting the little man with the funny walk and toothbrush mustache.
In the 1920s, the great vogue was for Latin lovers.
Amo amassa mat.
Whilst in silent films, looks were everything. With the advent of talkies, the image of many a strapping male lead was tarnished.
Oh, I should say so.
In the 30s came the horror film. The son of Frankenstein meets the bride of Dracula.
Hello.
How do you do?
And also in the 30s came the musicals. Big productions, big stars, and the biggest of them all, 54 Stone of Rhythm, those fabulous mistresses of the close harmony. It was never quite right, but it was close. Yes, the De Coverlet sisters. Movies really work. Let's have a look behind the screen. Sorry. We recorded a visit to Hollywood itself on the set of the new epic tragedy, Carry On Moses. The director, Hiram P. Cheeseburger, is directing his cameraman.
Swinging boom three, cut number one, strike the flaps, tighten that two shot on four, undercrank the wide angle, lose the dolly and roll arm.
What's he want?
I've no idea.
Between takes, I talked to the stars of the picture, Rachel Scotch.
Hello.
And Butch Gaylord.
Hello.
First of all, a question for you, darling.
Yes, sweetheart.
No, no, ladies first.
Could you be more specific, please?
Miss Scotch, I have one question for you.
I hope it's the one she's learned the answer to.
Now tell me, do you enjoy working in the tragical medium?
We are just good friends.
No, I'll rephrase the question. Tragical you enjoy and do the medium working.
I know people think that all you have to do to get a big part is to take your clothes off, but there's a lot more to it than that.
I
also want to be able to sell my mind.
You're giving green stamps or something?
I can't tell you how I love working under Mr. Cheeseburger.
You don't have to.
He's encouraging me to show people my heavier side.
Yes, I can see that.
After all, I expect you realize, in the film world, a lot of the glamour is false.
You said it, sweetie.
Well, really, it's fascinating, Miss Scotch, to find an actress talking so seriously.
Oh.
How do you feel about Chekhov or Pirandello?
Oh, we're just good friends.
Of course, if you want to give the children a treat, you take them to the pictures. Right. And of course, if you ask them who their favorites are, they'll tell you...
Nudies!
So, whilst the kids are safely off enjoying Ulysses, what nicer for we adults, ho-ho, than to really enjoy ourselves with an evening of Walt Disney.
Why do you speak in that ridiculous little voice, mouse cub?
I had a nasty accident with a mouse trap. But look! Look who's coming here. It's Uncle Remus.
Zippity-doo-dah, Mickey.
Is that snow on your coat?
There's a bluebird on my...
Well, it's certainly wonderful to see you all here. It's such a beautiful day, I feel like singing a hap-hap happy song.
Well, why don't we?
All right then. Bluebirds, please.
When you're a duck that's down on his luck, never, never cry. Wipe that little teardrop from your eye. If you're a hound that's down on the ground, you must not feel blue. Listen, I will tell you what to do.
Oh, 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 oh.
You can cut your troubles down by half. You'll be hap, hap, happy if you learn to laugh. Oh. When you are mim, mim, miserable, never, never say die, die, die. Crack, 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 small, yo, 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 with gleam in your eye, eye, eye. And laugh, ha, ha, laugh, ha, ha, laugh, ha, ha, ha. Funny, and that's what living's a pow, pow, pow. Start, 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 it's called geek, geek, giggle, and then let it ow, ow, ow. And laugh, ha, ha, laugh, ha, ha, laugh, ha, 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 ha. Your laugh may be rather high, or it may be way down low. You can do it nice and shy, or you can really let it go. Oh boy, isn't it fun, fun, fun? And if you are red, red, ready, we'll show you how it's done, done, done. Let's laugh, let's laugh, let's laugh.
Come to modern cinema, which brings us to the problem of censorship. I asked an expert, do you approve of sex in the cinema?
Oh yes, as long as I don't disturb the rest of the audience.
In Britain, the public is protected by the film censors, who see each new film and decide on its suitability for public exhibition.
Oh, that bathroom scene, absolute filth. Disgusting. Filthy rubbish. I demand that you cut it out of the film. And then I'll take it home.
But of course, it is in foreign films that most of these offensive sequences occur.
I love that bit too.
Of course, the censors don't like to cut films if they can help it.
Filthy rubbish. Oh, I'd better take the whole of that film.
There are, of course, other ways in which films can be made suitable for a British audience. By dubbing, for instance.
Absolutely, yes. By the discreet use of dubbing, we can make almost any scene as innocent as one could wish. For instance, take this bedroom scene from Midnight Romps in the original Swedish.
Kom ner, Frans, kom ner.
Hör det till då. Nu får jag öppna hafen. Det får ni glömma här.
Kom ner, med dig till Frans. Nu går jag på rollen fast.
Och måge det för öppna för den.
Kom ner, Frans.
Och nu tackar jag helt. Och lävet, och lävet.
Ja, of course, no British audience could possibly understand what was going on in that scene. But by careful dubbing, we can make it perfectly acceptable. Thus.
Come in. Good evening, Franz.
Good evening, Helga. I was just passing and I saw a light in your window, so I thought I'd pop in and tell you.
How kind you are, Franz.
Not at all. Let me put my arms around you.
What for?
Just to see if they'll reach. Oh, they do. Good.
Whoops! I've fallen on the bed.
How clumsy you are. Here, let me help you up. Whoops! Oh, how clumsy I am. I have fallen on the bed as well.
What a small world it is, France. Oh, bother, my liberty bodice has come undone.
Here, let me do it up for you. Oh, now it's come off altogether. What a nuisance for you.
Good heavens, it's my husband, Joseph.
Good evening, Joseph.
Good evening, France. How do you like my new gun?
Very nice. How does it work?
Oh, you just pull the trigger like this.
The bullets missed me, but I think I'll have a lie down. Good night, all.
And that's how we managed to keep the British cinema so clean. And so extremely boring.
The ambition of everyone in motion pictures is to win an Oscar, or a Nigel, or a Rupert. And so, as the high spot of our program, we take you now to the presentation luncheon for this year's Academy Awards.
It's a terrific scene here in the banqueting hall. The guests are packed tight. Some a little tighter than others. Over there, I can see the famous impresario, Solly I Spoke, murmuring to his wife.
Murmur, murmur already. That was my Yiddish murmur.
And there are hundreds of celebrities here from the movie world. All the people here are in tents and 20s. And now the whole crowd hold their breath as the MC steps forward to announce this year's awards.
Hello! Hello, dear. Thank you, dear. Thank you, may one say, shall announce the winners of this year's Academy Awards. First of all, the best supporting actress for her role in War and Peace, where she played the piece. Fiona! Grab it back, you up!
No, it can't be true.
No, I was joking. For wardrobe and nudes in the snow, and also best male actress, Timothy Brown Windsor. Next, best male support, Snugpot Surgical Corsets. For his role as the butler in Ben-Hur. Grimbley.
Oh dear, it's all a mistake. I'd been doing the Admirable Crichton and I was too slow to get off the set.
For his role as the butler in the Ten Commandments. Grimbling.
And then I got lost.
A posthumous award for his lead in I Was a Teenage Pensioner. And also the fastest gun in the West.
Good evening.
I thought first thus posthumous meant that it was awarded after afternoon, after... Oh. I fell over, you know.
Finally, this year's leading lady for her performance in the title role of Moby Dick. I still have you all shot.
No! Tonight it gives me great pleasure, and every other night too.
And so, as the climax of the occasion, the year's top actress is presented to His Royal Highness.
I don't want her.
And now, by way of a special treat and an excuse to do some favourite old jokes, here are the winners in an extract from a film that has just been released.
Humphrey!
In glorious stethoscope, The Curse of the Flying Wombat!
just quickly the story so far. And so, as the sun sinks in the west, the chums find themselves safely washed up on the shores of Broadcasting House. There they relax and count their blessings.
Here, I'm on shore. Well, it looks as if everything has turned out just fine. The young lovers are united.
Timsy Wimsy, look into my eyes.
Oh, so, so beautiful. Two little reflections of me.
Forgotten my worries.
Never mind, he doesn't show.
If only I had someone, my happiness would be complete.
At this, there is an expectant hush.
Shh, I'm going to have a baby.
Then Grimbling springs forward.
Oh, Mom, Mom, can't you see it is I who want you? Don't fight it.
I wasn't thinking of it.
Will you marry me?
Oh, I've never been so touched in all my life. Don't stop now.
No, no, we can have the masked wedding finale. Yay! Thank you. Oh, how I love you all. You're my kind of people.
What kind of people?
Shore people.
He's gone nuts.
No, he's leading up to a song.
And oh, how I love our business.
What business?
Show business.
Yeah. I ain't got no penthouse. I ain't got no bar. I ain't got no high tie. I ain't got no car. I ain't got no diamonds. I ain't got no pearls. I ain't got no entourage of beautiful girls. Well, I'm not a heartthrob, and I'm not a king. I'm not a Sinatra, and I'm not a Bing.
No, no, no.
I'm not a big star, I'm not a success. But what am I? I'm fed up anywhere
else. No, you're not happiness.
Have I?
Of course, because you're in show business.
Show business, yes.
We're wonderful, warm-hearted people. Say wonderful, warm-hearted things.
Wonderful, darling, whatever you do.
And everyone say good evening to you.
So whenever I'm feeling downhearted, I remember to stand up and sing.
First show must go on. And on and on and on and on and on and on.
And on and on.
And on and on and on and on and on and on. And on 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 and on.
Well, that was... I'm sorry, I'll read it again. In that edition, the parts were played as follows. Lady Constance, Timbrook Taylor, Arnold Totteridge, Graham Garden, all boring pieces, David Hatch, all the other pieces, Joe Kendall, Grimbling, Pluto and Donald Duck, Bill Oddie. The screenplay was written by Graham Garden and Bill Oddie, the original songs by Bill Oddie, and the music was played and arranged by Leon Cohen. The show was a Hatch-Titheridge joint production. And so, as Peter Titheridge pulls slowly away from the shore, and David Hatch sinks slowly under the table, we say farewell to John Otto Cleese.
Oh, no! It's I'm sorry, I'll read that again, Mother! Again!
Baby sang good through, and I always listen to I'm sorry, I'll read that again.
My name is Angus.